I'm glad that you're here today. It's good to have another opportunity of worshiping together, and we hope that our time spent is going to honor God and please Him in all things. And we invite you to get your Bible, and we're going to study some in just a moment about some things that obedience is not. When I add our word of welcome to any visitors that we have, we're glad that you're with us. Hope you'll come and return this evening, if possible, at 6 o'clock. And if you have questions about what is taught or what is practiced here, then please ask those questions. We'll be happy to receive those from you and to discuss them with you. Our interest is to honor God and to serve Him in spirit and in truth in our worship and in all that we say and do. And it's toward that end that I thought we would read Micah and the statement that Micah presents in that particular passage, because in it we learn something about obedience. We learn that obedience is something much more than the idea of compliance. And I'm afraid that sometimes we think about obedience in those terms. And we're going to try to get a good picture this morning from God's Word about obedience. More on that in just a moment. In fact, to lead into this discussion, we just have to frankly say that the idea of obedience is demonized. It's demonized from a lot of different sources, but one is the doctrine of salvation by faith only. The Calvinistic doctrine says that any action on your part nullifies the grace of God and impugns the sovereignty of God and means that you're trying to earn your salvation in some way. It's a false doctrine, but what it has the effect of doing is to cause us to talk about obedience in a negative way. Calvinism, in fact, distorts God's sovereignty. It is not against the sovereignty of God for man to be obedient to God. It does not diminish the fact that God rules in all things for us to confidently affirm that God expects us to obey His will. So the question for you and me in this morning and always is, am I being obedient to the God who is sovereign over all things? And you see, because Calvinism distorts the sovereignty of God and says that man can do nothing. God does everything, even to the selecting of who's going to be lost and who's going to be saved. And He made that election from eternity past. That's a distortion. He chose how to save us from eternity past in the Christ. And that's what we've been studying in the book of Ephesians in our adult class. But you see, once God's sovereignty and God's election is distorted by error, then man's free will is also distorted. The idea that man cannot respond to God in any way, that any response man gives is diminishing reliance upon God, then it turns obedience into earning salvation. So you probably talk to people who, when you try to discuss with them about obeying God, about, for instance, being baptized for the remission of your sins, they immediately say, well, you believe in water salvation. You believe there's power in the water. You believe you're earning and working in a earning manner the right to be saved. All of those are distortions, and all of those cause people to diminish the concept of obedience. Now, obedience is also demonized because we misunderstand love. The Word of God says that this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and that His commandments are not grievous, are not burdensome. 1 John 5, verses 2 and 3. But when we have a distorted view of love, when we believe that love amounts to the feelings that we have toward others, and not understand that the Bible says love always acts in the benefit and for the benefit of its object, and in terms of loving God, it's about a full submission of one's heart and life to Him for the benefit of His will and purposes. Then by misunderstanding love, we misunderstand how love is to respond. You see, John said that love, the love of God, is that we obey Him with a heart of joy and gladness, not not a burdensome view of obedience.
And again, I come up to this point. You see, obedience is not a view of I have to do it. You see, I have to comply. And somehow or another, that's obeying God.
No, that's not obedience at all. Let's look at a couple of verses on that and have something else to say about that in a minute. There's another side of this, another temptation about obedience, and that is we can ritualize our obedience. We can turn repetition into rote. We can turn routine into ritual. Now, there's nothing wrong about repeating something. Repetition. After all, the Lord said on the first day of the week, the disciples came together to break bread. We have a repetition weekly of assembling to worship God, to remember the Lord's death and the supper. We have repetition in prayer. We have repetition in a lot of things. To equate obedience with or repetition with rote would be wrong. But you see, we're tempted sometimes to fall into that trap because we are under responsibility of obeying God in areas of worship and other things. Then the temptation is to turn our repetition into a rote and a ritual. It's not wrong to have a routine. Our routine is to meet at 9:30 and 10:30 on Sunday mornings and 6 o'clock on Sunday nights. Our routine is to sing praises and pray and eat the supper. It's nothing sinful about routine, but if we turn it into a ritual or a ceremony, then we have missed what obedience is just as surely as the faith-only crowd that says, if you obey, you're earning something. And we've turned it into well, I'm doing what God said do. Now, see, we have developed perhaps a concept of compliance rather than of genuine obedience. Jesus said, when a man said, "What is the great commandment of the law? What is the first commandment?" Jesus said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. Mind with all your strength." This is the first commandment. And the second likened to it is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, in that context, it says specifically one of the Pharisees came and, having heard them reasoning together, perceived that he had answered them well. And he said, "Which is the first commandment of all?" What's the first commandment of all? What's the first commandment that I need to obey? Jesus answered, "The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength." You see, the first commandment to obey is loving God. Dare we turn our love for God into ritual, into rote, into ceremony? You see, obedience is not bad. Obedience, and the very first thing to obey is loving God. See, that's the problem with people who demonize obedience. They've not understood that when properly applied, obedience is a full expression of love for God and for our neighbor as ourselves, as he goes on to say. Now, the point here is we must not remove the joy and the gladness from our obedience. And Deuteronomy 28. As you're turning there, let me illustrate it this way. And go back to that word compliance. You know, there's some places on the highway that I would like to drive more than 55, but that's not the speed limit. And so I comply. But is it really the heart of obedience? Well, I'm following the law, you know. But my heart is really, I'd like to go 65, but it's not the law, so I go 55. I comply. God wants us to do something more than comply. He wants our heart to recognize that His commandments are for our good and yield to it. And so, you see, even in the mundane expectations of our law, God expects us to go beyond compliance to understanding that in our service to those things, we're serving the Lord. And that it's not a burden upon us to yield ourselves to accomplish
even the obedience to the laws of the land.
Because in doing that, we're recognizing and honoring Him. So, if the speed limit is 55, then I comply, but I ought to have a heart of obedience that yields willingly. Now let me illustrate it in the Word of God, Deuteronomy 28:45. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon you and pursue and overtake you until you are destroyed because you did not obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep His commandments and His statutes which He commanded you. And you shall be, and they shall be upon you for a sign and a wonder and on your descendants forever. God is telling them, when you disobey Me as a nation, you will be punished. But now look, because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and gladness of heart for the abundance of everything, therefore you'll serve your enemies. When He says, you did not obey My voice, verse 45, that's the same thing as saying, you did not serve Me with joy and gladness of heart. If our obedience does not come from a heart of joy and gladness, our obedience is not yet that which God wants us to have. The obedience to God is the expression of a heart that is first given to God. That's why Jesus said, the first commandment, the great commandment, is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Otherwise, we can bring 10,000 sacrifices. We can be at every service. And it means nothing to God. God doesn't need the sacrifices. God doesn't need our time. God doesn't need any of those things from us. But what He expects of us, what Micah say? He expects of us, in verse 8, go back there with me. Micah, 6th chapter, verse 8. To Israel, He said, He's shown you, O man, what's good, and what does the Lord require of you? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. You see, the heart to do justly, the heart to love mercy, a heart to walk humbly with God, not kicking and screaming and fighting and, you know, having a foul mood about having to do this because God said do it, and therefore I'll do it. I don't like to do it. I don't want to do it. I'll comply. That's not obedience. That's not loving God. That's one of the things obedience is not. Let's take just a few minutes to look at virtues and advantages of obedience. There's a lot of them. And this answers those who say faith only is God's plan and any obedience to God is earning God's blessing. The Bible says we must obey God. We ought to obey God rather than men. And Acts 5 and verse 29. When it's a choice between man or God, we must obey God. That's a virtue. That's an advantage. You see, that's what God expects of us. In Acts 5:32, it says the Spirit is given to those who obey Him. I believe in his context, he's talking about the Spirit was given to the apostles and those who were granted miraculous gifts. They were obedient to God and the Spirit was given to them. That's an advantage. That's a virtue. Spirit wasn't given to the disobedient. Galatians 3:20, we studied this morning, you receive the Spirit by the hearing of faith. We come into relationship with the Spirit of God because we hear the gospel, because we respond to it, because we're obedient to it. In the Bible, in Romans 2, the obedient escape hell and obtain heaven. Look at that verse with me. Romans 2nd chapter, verses 6 through 10. The apostle said, God will render to everyone according to his deeds eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil. The Jew first and also the Greek, but glory and honor and peace to everyone who works what is good. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now, when one is working what is good, is he earning the glory, the honor, the peace of verse 10? Not earning anything. But God is granting his blessing to those
who will do what is good. He says it's obeying the truth.
Verse 8.
Because when you don't obey the truth, hell is the outcome. But obeying the truth has to come from a heart that's fully given to God. That's the obedience. That's the nature of our obedience. The advantage to that kind of obedience is we escape hell and we obtain heaven. God's going to render vengeance on those who do not know God and those who do not obey His gospel.
2 Thessalonians 1:8.
So my question, or the question for me is, not just am I doing what God wants, but am I doing it from a heart that means it's genuine obedience? Is it from a heart that loves God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength? The advantage of obedience is it frees us from sin.
Romans 6, verses 16 through 18 says, we are servants of what we obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. He says that we became, when we were obedient from the heart, or the Romans, he says, you were slaves of sin, but you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered.
And being made free from sin, you became servants of righteousness. So, the advantage of obedience is it frees us from sin. It doesn't earn the freedom, but it grants that, God grants that blessing to the one who has a heart that yields to and obeys His will, the gospel that has been delivered. Galatians 3 verse 1,
it is those who are obedient who are not bewitched. They are not charmed by error and so deceived and drawn away from Christ. Galatians 3:1, it says, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? See, by being charmed by error, they were not obeying the truth. So when we obey the truth, we have a protection against being deluded, deceived. 2 Thessalonians 3:14, if we will be obedient to the gospel of Christ, we avoid corrective discipline. The verse says, if anyone does not obey our word in this epistle, note that person and do not keep company with him that he may be ashamed. So the disobedient one brings upon themselves the correction of the withdrawing that he's discussing in that context. Lord willing, tonight we'll give some detail, some time and attention to studying that whole passage. But again, the advantage of being obedient is, hey, kids know that, don't they? Obey your parents and you don't get spanked. Obey your parents and you get a blessing. Don't obey your parents and you bring punishment. It's not a hard concept. But even your parents want you to obey them out of love, not out of a compliance of anger or disdain. They want you to obey because you love them. God wants the same thing of us. Obedience shows respect for authority. In Titus 3 and verse 1, the Word of God says, remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work. So you see, here this gets back to what my illustration earlier. It's more than just a compliance. It is an obedience. Because we serve the Lord. Because we respect His authority, we're to respect the authority under which we live. And the obedience is not just, I've got to do it, so I'll do it. But a heart that illustrates a respect for the authority that exists. Hebrews 3 verse 18 says it's the obedient who enter God's rest. Hebrews 3 and the 18th verse. Remember of Israel in the wilderness. In that passage it says, to whom did He swear that they would not enter His rest, but to those who did not obey. Those who did not obey did not enter rest. If we do not obey God in our life now, we will not enter heaven's rest. That's assured. Again, in Hebrews 5 and 9, He became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey Him. The advantage of obedience. Christ gives eternal salvation to the obedient. 1 Peter 3 and verse 1, the idea of obeying the Word is equated with winning them over to Christ. Remember the unbelieving husband? It says, if any does not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives. So winning the husband is equated with, now they become obedient because they observe your chaste behavior accompanied by fear. Your conduct helps to win them over. So, you see, when we obey the word, we're won over in Christ. If we don't obey the word, we're not yet won over, are we? Christ wants us to be won over to truth and righteousness. 1 Peter 4, verses 17 and 18 talks about obedience and our salvation with struggle. It says, the time has come for judgment to begin in the house of God, and if it begins first with us, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? If the righteous one is scarcely saved, what will be where will the ungodly and sinner appear? So, the one who does not obey the gospel is not going to appear in salvation, because it's the one who obeys the gospel that he says is scarcely or with difficulty saved. There's a struggle to be saved. The struggle of faith, the struggle of obedience in our lives, and do the will of God despite the adversity. You see, that's the advantage that comes when we will face the struggle, be obedient to God, the salvation is granted. Let's talk a little bit for a minute about what obedience is not. It is not earning our salvation. It is not meriting anything. It is not being able to say, God deserves to save me. This is what I've accomplished because I've done what he said do. We're not to view obedience as saying, well, I've accomplished this, and so God's going to, it's payment for services rendered. No, that's not what obedience does. In Luke 17 and 10, Jesus said, so you likewise, when you've done all those things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. Like the servant who does the master's will, as he used that illustration in his context. He says that the master doesn't thank the servant when the servant does what the servant's supposed to do. When the servant serves the master, he's just doing his duty. When we obey our master, when we serve him, we're just doing our duty. We haven't earned. They haven't merited anything. Here's rather how we should view it. The obedient person views himself or herself as a servant of God. See, when we grasp the Bible concept, what God wants us to grasp about obedience, then we view our obedience as serving God. Not serving ourselves, serving Him. Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Now he's talking in this context about a slave, and that as a slave, he is to serve his master as he would serve Christ. In fact, he says, you're serving Jesus. So, as a slave, you serve your master. Well, you see, when we are obedient to the commands God gives us, we're to be viewing ourselves as just a servant. We're serving our master. We're serving Jesus. Now, that will put into perspective why it is we assemble on the first day of the week. We serve Jesus. It's about a lot more than saying, I've got to go because my parents told me to go. It's about loving God. It's about serving God. Telling the truth, being an honest person, is about a lot more than just saying, well, my parents taught me I shouldn't tell a lie, or my teacher said don't tell a lie, or somebody in my life said I ought to lie. It's about serving God. It's about being a servant of God who is a God of truth. And so it's about the character that we have within ourselves. of being honest. You know, and make your own list, whatever the list is. You see, it's not a checklist of I've done that, I've done that, I've done that. It's about serving the will of my master, because that's what a servant does. He doesn't look at it from his own point of view. He looks at it that, hey, my master rules, and I do his will. I yield to him, and it gives him glory. It gives him honor, not me. In Ephesians 2 and verse 9, the obedient person views himself as unprofitable. I want you to see this. The obedient person knows that he has not merited anything. Remember that verse that says in verse 8, by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Not of works, not of earning anything. Our salvation by grace through faith is we've not profited. We've not earned it. It's not by our works, which we did in righteousness. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 9. So obeying God is not about earning. It's about recognizing I'm unprofitable. I've done my duty. And it gives honor to my master, not to me. You see, sin forever forfeits merit, doesn't it? We take the time to study all this. I won't go into detail right now. But it's something to remember. You see, the fact that all sin and fall short of the glory of God means none of us can earn salvation. We can't do it. We can't earn anything. We are at the mercy of God's grace. And through faith, He's willing to save us. He's willing to forgive us. Abraham, if he had been able to stand before God and by his works be saved, he could have boasted before God. He could have come before God and said, God, you owe me the blessing. But God didn't owe him the blessing. No. He was blessed through faith. You see, he had sinned too. Sin forfeits. Trying to say, well, God owes this to me. Obedient faith, on the other hand, is counted for righteousness. Hebrews 11:7. Remember Noah, by faith Noah, being warned of things not seen as yet, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. He's an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. See, Abraham was counted righteous not by his works but by faith, because he trusted God and did the will of God. We are counted righteous. Our faith is counted for righteousness. Your faith is counted for righteousness by God. Not because you've earned anything, but because, you see, you've heard His will and you've obeyed Him. You see, that's the faith working through love. That's faith. You see, faith without works is dead. It's the obedience. It's the yielding of the heart to doing the will of God. Obedience is not earning salvation. It's recognizing that we're servants. That we're servants to God. And when we do the will of God, we've not merited anything. God graciously has said to obedient servants, I'll save you. You show your faith in me. Abraham, your faith is counted to you for righteousness. Noah, when you obeyed me and built the ark, your faith is counted to you for righteousness. And so will yours be. And so will mine be when we hear and do the will of God. But none of us, from Noah on, none of us earn our salvation. Obedience is not that. And when people say that it is, they show that they do not yet understand what God's Word teaches about obedience. Faith working through love is what avails in Christ, Galatians 5 and verse 6. But now, let's go to this right quick. Obedience is not self-defined. We don't define for ourselves what obedience is. That was a problem in Matthew 15 when the scribes and Pharisees had by their traditions nullified the commands of God. When they placed expectations upon people, or when they said, well, you're excused from obeying certain commands because of this or that, it became self-defined. A lot of times we think about obedience that way today. How often have we heard somebody say about themselves or to another, well, you've got to work out your own salvation. And the implication is, it's up to you. You've got to decide what's right. That's a distortion. That's a misuse of that passage, Philippians 2 and verse 12. Philippians 2 and verse 12 is a magnificent passage, but because people have not understood obedience, they've misunderstood this passage. He says, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. Now, let me illustrate what I mean. You see, the idea of saying, well, you've got to work out your own salvation, sometimes is used to silence rebuke. Instead of using the Word of God to reprove and rebuke, 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2, the retort is, you have no right to say that. I've got to work out my own salvation. And so we think that way to immunize ourselves from being rebuked when there's sin in our lives. We're not understanding obedience. Obedience isn't defined by each person. You decide for yourself what obedience is. I decide for myself what obedience is. That's not what the Word of God teaches. I'll illustrate it again. When we start talking about moral issues, there are some who take the tack and the approach, you know, everybody's got to work out their own salvation. They've got to decide for themselves whether social drinking is right or wrong. You know, they've got to decide for themselves whether dancing is lasciviousness or not. You know, and they've got to decide whether to dress immodestly or not. Well, yeah, sure, everybody's going to decide because we all make a choice. But that's very making a choice of what we're going to do is very different than saying, I'm going to decide whether or not something is immodest or whether or not something is sin or not. You see, God's Word tells us what is immodest. God's Word tells us what is lascivious. God's Word tells us about alcohol. It's not about, well, I'll work out my own salvation. Again, that's trying to immunize myself from obedience to what God's Word says about the matter. We come down to the matter of divorce and remarriage. The same thing is applied. See, people say, well, they got to work out their own salvation. That doesn't affect us. Now, God's Word tells us who has a right to remarry and who doesn't. Matthew 19:9. It's not about deciding what is obedience for ourselves. It's about yielding as a servant of God to conform to His will in religious matters, in moral issues, in the relationships that we form, in every area of our lives. Whatever we do in word or deed, we're to do all in the name of and by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, Colossians 3 and 16. Obedience is not self-defined. You see, working out salvation, Philippians 2:12, is about maturing in Christ. It's about pressing on to completion. It's about continuing to be obedient. Do you see that? He says, not as you have always obeyed, but now, he says, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now when I'm away, now when I'm not present, work out your salvation. Keep on obeying. Bring your salvation to a full accomplishment. Mature and be complete in Christ. That's His point. Because He says it's God who's working in you. When you are obeying God, God is working in you. God is achieving His will in you when you are obeying Him. Loving Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. and your neighbor is yourself. You see, now you're doing His will, not deciding for yourself what you'll call obedience, but what He calls obedience and what His will is for your life. Obedience is not an attack on God's sovereignty. By grace, you've been saved through faith, and that's not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. We don't profit anything. We're not attacking the sovereignty of God. In fact, we are respecting God's sovereignty when we properly understand obedience, because then we know He rules and reigns, and we are His servants. And so we willingly yield ourselves. Being saved by God's power, by God's love and mercy and grace is exalted. God's right to command and expect obedience is preserved and honored when we have the Bible view of obedience. Romans 9:14-20, we're out of time to do that passage justice right now. But it fundamentally says God is sovereign, God rules, and God has the right and has made choices. And we're not in a position to find fault with what God has chosen to do and how He's chosen to do it. Our responsibility is to yield to it. Our responsibility is to know He's the potter and we're the clay. And we're to yield ourselves in humble submission to what His will is for our lives. You see, we have a moral obligation to obey God. This is the end of the matter. All has been heard. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole of man. For God will bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or bad. Please ask these 12:13-14. We have a moral obligation to obey. That moral obligation goes far beyond compliance. It goes to giving our hearts to God and so conforming ourselves to Him. Obedience is the free will action of our faith, our trust in God. To know that He is and that He is a rewarder of those who seek after Him. Seek after Him in faith. Do His will in our lives. Call Him Lord and do what He says. That's our obligation. And that's the blessing that will come. The blessing that will come when we do that is salvation. You see, we make a choice to be saved by believing and obeying Jesus. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Come to me. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's doing something. Of course, Peter told them to repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Call on the name of the Lord is to yield our heart in obedient faith. Of a truth I perceive, God is no respecter of persons, Peter said, but in every nation he who fears God and works righteousness is acceptable to Him. To work righteousness is to obey the righteous precepts of God. We don't earn a thing. We yield the servants to the Master and obtain His blessing. Obedience is vital. It is essential. It is necessary for salvation in Christ. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ did put on Christ. When you're baptized into Christ and put on Christ, you don't merit the right to be saved. You obtain the blessing that He offers. You receive it for yourself. That's the person who's going to enter heaven. You see, those who do the will of the Father will enter the kingdom. That's what Jesus said in Matthew 7:21. Not because they deserve it, but because they trust Jesus to save them. And express that trust by obeying Him. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. And Jesus said, this is the wise person who will hear these words of mine and do them. He'll be like the man who built his house on the rock. Be wise. Be obedient. Far, far more than just saying, I have to do this, this, and this. No, rather, I want to do my Master's will. I desire to give Him honor and glory. I desire to yield myself, heart and soul, to do His will now and always. He'll bless that, because that'll be a life of faith. that your need this morning? If it is, then respond in faith to the commandments of God. Trust that He will bless you with His salvation in His Son. Repent of your sin. Confess that Jesus is the Son of God. Be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. You'll be obedient by doing that. But you'll be in that obedience trusting that God in His mercy and grace will forgive you your sins. Will add you to the church. Will give you a home in heaven. And give you a living hope to live with and by day by day. If you're a Christian and you haven't been obedient, God calls you to repentance. God calls you to return. To renew your first love. Confess your sin to Him and He'll forgive you. Let us each strive to be obedient with hearts fully given to God. The call of the gospel goes to us all while we stand and while we sing.